right. And you are listening to WAWA. Listen to me. WRFG Atlanta 89.3. Welcome to Alternative Perspective. This is Atlanta's only local radio hour devoted exclusively to issues affecting Atlanta's queer community, which is a word that I've settled on for the LGBTQ plus and all those other letters. I'm your host, Greg Bossen, and thank you so much for listening. The opinions expressed here are those of myself and my guests and do not necessarily represent the views of WRFG, its employees, board, volunteers, funders, or listeners. So, I need to breathe. So hold on one second. I'm going to take a really deep breath. And I invite everyone to do this that's listening to me. Okay, we've had a little bit of a crazy start that happens here at WRFG. But I am very excited for this show tonight. It is on being trans. And there's a whole lot of stuff we could talk about related to the trans community. But I think I want to focus on what does it mean, which is pretty basic. And I am a gay man, and as such, I identify as part of the LGBTQ community, but that does not mean that I know much about the trans community at all. And in fact, I don't. So I've wanted to have a show about the trans community for a while now. And a couple of weeks ago, I was at a restaurant on Cheshire Bridge Road, Rocks, and I encountered a rather large group of trans folks that were having dinner. And so I was like, well, this is my opportunity. Maybe I could say something to these people. But then I thought, well, that's going to be rude. They're going to feel offended, perhaps. They're just out having dinner. They don't need to be interviewed. But after wavering back and forth about it, I decided I'd go ahead because it's better to ask forgiveness than permission. So I walked up and I introduced myself to the group. And so as a result, we have three guests here tonight who they all identify as part of the trans community. But how they self-identify, how they move in the world gender-wise, is really unique to each of them. So I'm really interested to talk about this, and obviously that's what we are going to be doing tonight. But before we do that, we will stop listening to this music, first of all. But before we go into our show tonight,
news of the queer.
I know that's right.
Oh, no, she didn't say what?
So, as you know, I love to do a little news before we get started. And I'm going to try and do a shortened version because we have three guests here tonight, and each one of them is at least as interesting as the other. We'll be voting on which one of you is the most interesting by the end. But anyway, all right. So, let's see. So, this first news is local. Happened in Atlanta, and this was basically some information that came out. It was a study that was done in 2018 about homeless youth, and it came out on October the 21st. About a quarter of Atlanta's homeless youth, and there are exactly, 3,372 homeless youth in Atlanta, and about a quarter of them are part of the LGBTQ community. And these queer youth are at greater risk of human trafficking than their straight counterparts, according to the New Georgia State University study. The numbers are from a 2018 Atlanta youth count, which was released on October the 21st. Georgia State students conducted anonymous surveys and interviews last fall with homeless youth between the ages of 14 and 25. The study focused on homeless youth in Fulton, DeKalb, Clayton, Cobb, and Gwinnett. Minority and LGBTQ homeless youth are more likely to be forced into working against their will, according to Georgia State sociology professor Eric Wright. He was the principal investigator on the study. And he states that our data suggests, at least among the homeless, they're actually more likely to be trafficked for their labor and less frequently for their commercial sexual exploitation. Only about one in four is engaging in sex work of some sort. So anyway, that's still a lot. Anyway, I just think it's something that's important for us to take note of. And that's why organizations like Chris Kids that provide homes for gay youth are very important In the city. The other thing that happened locally, this is good news, in Brookhaven, the little town of Brookhaven here, close in town Atlanta, the Brookhaven's mayor expects the city to pass a sweeping LGBTQ inclusive non-discrimination ordinance by the end of the year, joining other cities that have done so in Georgia. It's the right thing to do, Mayor John Ernst is saying. I could go into a long political answer to make me sound super sincere, but it's not my style. It's just the right thing to do. So I think that's really cool. The policy prohibits discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. By the way, let us stop and notice for a second that sexual orientation and gender identity are actually two different things. I know this is news to a lot of people, but some of what we're going to be talking about today. anyway... So we're pretty excited about that. Other cities that have these non-discrimination policies include Atlanta, Doraville, Clarkston, Chamblee, and Dunwoody. Those are the only cities in Georgia to have such a policy, and now Brookhaven will be added to that list. All right. Now, this one is in Cincinnati, Ohio, and this is going to be very shocking. Particularly to one of our guests, Christine. And actually, why don't you say hello, Christine? You're going to have to move the mic right in front of your mouth. There you go. Say hello.
Hello.
Oh, that sounds good. Welcome, Christine. Everybody say hello to Christine. Well, it's everybody can't hear, but anyway.
Hello, Christine. Okay.
All right. All right. Why don't you speak up and make sure we can hear you?
I don't think we can. Hold on.
All right, say something.
My name is Brandy.
All right, so this is Brandy, everybody. We've met Christine, and this is Phoebe.
Yes.
All right, so we'll get more into them in a minute. I don't mean that. But, all right, so anyway, but Chet, as we go laughing into this next story, this is an emergency room nurse, and that's what Christine does for a living. Should I have not said that?
Paramedic.
Paramedic.
Yes.
Okay. So in the Tri-Health Hospital in Cincinnati, Ohio, this happened in Cincinnati, Ohio, at the Tri-Health Hospital, a woman who's an emergency room nurse has been suspended from her job after having a transphobic, homophobic meltdown on Facebook over tampons. So this woman's name is Cindy Carter. She took to Facebook a few days ago to voice her outrage over Procter & Gamble, who have decided to go gender neutral by removing the female Venus symbol from its packaging on its Always menstrual products. So this woman, Cindy, apparently is very upset about this, and I will beep out the parts that are, I won't say the cuss words, but this country has gone completely to, I'll say, shite. Carter raged, women have periods, men don't. Why do certain applications ask for legal sex? You're either male or female. There's no effing in between. Which I stopped and wondered, well, what happens if you are intersex? What if you have parts from a man and a female? So, Jesus, people, get your heads on straight, grab a mirror, it's easy. Either you have a penis or you don't. I swear these effing sea-sucking homos think they deserve everything. And the confused women are just as bad. Men need to be men. Women need to be women. Stop the stupid-ass man buns and man your buns up and do some hard labor. So I'm thinking to myself, first of all, I mean, in addition to the fact that this woman obviously has no idea what she's talking about, what I'm wondering is, why is she so angry? How does this affect her? Why is she taking to Facebook? Why is she angry about this? I cannot, for the life of me, understand. It's like those people at Pride who stand on the corner of the street with the signs yelling, you know, God hates fags. I don't understand how somebody is so angry. It's got to be something internal. But anyway, when the Gay City Councilman Chris Sealback saw the rant, he took a screenshot, shared it on Facebook, along with the caption, Cindy Carter is a nurse at TriHealth, and then it didn't take long for TriHealth to immediately place her on administrative leave and launch an investigation into the matter. I don't know what you would investigate other than the fact she's obnoxious, but I really don't understand why people get so upset about that. And I'd love to have one of those people on the show, to be honest with you. I don't know that the radio station would let me, but it'd be neat to sit and listen to them and see if I can understand why it is that they're so upset. All right. And then, then we have one more little story. This one is just for fun, really, which I like to do every once in a while. And this one has to do... This happened on Monday, which I guess is yesterday, right? And it happened on the Ellen Show, which I don't watch the Ellen Show, but I assume some people do anyway. But apparently Jennifer Aniston and Ellen DeGeneres kissed on the Ellen Show on Monday, which I don't think any of us in the room care about this, but there's a number of... women that probably do that are, I mean, and to be honest with you, I think both of them are kind of hot. So, the Friends actress was on the Ellen Show. Jennifer Aniston started asking Ellen about her kiss with Howard Stern. Apparently, Ellen kissed Howard Stern a few weeks ago. Jennifer wanted to know, you know, why did you do that? Tell me about it. How was it? Did you enjoy it? Were you nervous? I guess because Ellen was kissing a guy and she's a lesbian. So Ellen was like, why are you asking me this? Is this something that turns you on? So then Aniston asked, when is the last time you kissed a guy? So, of course, Ellen retorts, well, you know, when is the last time you kissed a girl? And so she said that she doesn't think she's ever kissed a girl. And then that was it. They kissed. So... But I don't know. I thought it was just for fun, so I think they're both hot, so I thought it was interesting. But anyway, with that, we will be right back with Alternative Perspectives.
On September 1st, 2019, Hurricane Dorian descended on the Bahama Islands as a Category 5 storm, creating an unprecedented level of destruction across the archipelago. Once the storm subsided, at least 61 people were killed and countless displaced as rebuilding efforts and cleanup continues.
On November 2nd, Cafe Songhai, the African Association of Georgia, Caribbean Roundup, and the Regional Council of Africans in the Americas will be joining forces with WRFG 89.3 FM for a hurricane relief fundraiser in support of the Bahamas. The event will start at 8 p.m. Beat for Bahamas will bring together live African band music and an all-star lineup of DJs to rock the house for a righteous cause. Donations of non-perishable food items, cleaning supplies, batteries, first aid supplies, and more will be collected. All proceeds to benefit the hurricane relief efforts. Event to be hosted by WRFG's Wanik Shabazz and DJ Dizza.
For more information, the number is 404-523-3471 or WRFG.org.
All right, and we are back. You are listening to WRFG Atlanta 89.3, and this show is Alternative Perspectives. This is Atlanta's only queer radio hour, and I'm your host, Greg Bossen, and we are talking with three guests who are part of the trans community here in Atlanta. One of them is Christine. Say hello, Christine.
Hello. How's everybody?
Wonderful. And then the next one is Brandy. Say hello, Brandy.
Hello, everyone.
Ah, sorry. I'd got that wrong. And then the last one is Phoebe.
Hello, everybody.
All right. Yes. All right. Great. I need to get those right. All right. So first thing I want to do before we go any further is let's talk about pronouns. So, and also to identify, I guess, how you identify yourselves. Actually, you know what? Well, yeah, let's go ahead and do that. So, Christine, how would you identify yourself? Would you consider yourself, what's the title that you use for yourself, I guess?
Well, my pronouns are she and her. I am a female who is transgender.
Okay.
So I use those proper pronouns.
Female that's transgender.
Correct.
All right. And you're as a woman 24/7.
Yes, I'm full time. I became full time in November of 2016.
All right. Okay. November of 2016. Was there a particular, did you have a party for it?
No, actually, it was a result of my former employer blatantly discriminating against me and firing me on election day for something that they've never been able to prove. On the next day, I decided, well, I'm going to be full-time because they wouldn't let me come to my job as my authentic self.
But you found another job and everything is fine.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with a wonderful employer here in Atlanta who's very supportive of not just me, but of our community. And I'm proud to be an employee of that organization.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. All right. So, and then I am going to go next to you, Brandy. So how would you identify yourself, I guess?
Well, the title I use is gender fluid because I don't present as male or female all the time. I kind of go back and forth between it. So the pronouns I use are based on what I am presenting that day. Today I'm presenting female, so I would use she and her. Days that I'm not, I use male, he, him.
So. All right. So just to kind of show that there's a difference here. So Christine, you are 24/7 full-time woman. You identify yourself, you think of yourself as a woman, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. So whereas you don't really have that label per se. There's pieces of you that you feel are more a man, and then there's pieces of you that are a woman, and you make decisions as to how you want to present on each day.
Correct.
Okay. I have to ask, do you do that at the beginning? When do you know whether or not that's going to have it the night before or that morning?
It has a lot to do on how I'm feeling. If I'm having a bad pain day, for those listening, I'm a paraplegic and in a wheelchair. So a lot of my daily presentation stuff is based on my level of pain and how I'm feeling that day. If I'm having a bad pain day, I don't put in the effort to present as full out female, and I default to male, which is my assigned at birth gender.
Gotcha. Isn't it interesting, by the way, that in order to dress as a female in our society, it simply takes more work, which is,
yeah.
I think men must have made that decision. All right. So, and then Phoebe, so how would you identify yourself?
I identify as a male who occasionally, likes to present as a woman. I use pronouns appropriate to the presentation. If I'm in my normal guy self, it's he, him. If I am presenting as Phoebe, I am she, her. And as far as, and I'm very similar to Brandy in the gender fluid idea, except for me, it's more a matter of scheduling and what's going on. I typically plan out when I'm going to be presenting as Phoebe. If I'm going to make arrangements to have lunch with a friend or go out shopping or something like that, I generally don't just dress up just to hang around the house. I used to do that many years ago, and being all dressed up with no place to go is not so much fun.
All right. So actually, Brandy, what do you think about that? Do you feel like you're similar to Phoebe or not?
A little bit. I will occasionally dress an all-female attire when I'm just staying around the house. I don't necessarily put in the effort to do makeup and wig, but I will wear typically female clothing around the house, just staying at home, depending on, you know, if I've got to mow the yard, I'm in jeans and a t-shirt, but if I'm staying in the house, a pair of stretchy yoga pants and a camisole or something. So.
I guess what struck me and what I wanted to make sure that I understood is that, Brandy, you kind of led with this idea of not really considering yourself of one gender or the other. And I'm assuming that you like the ability to have the freedom to move between the two.
Yes.
And that matches your internal identity.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So when I first talked to you, Phoebe, you didn't necessarily present that way. You presented as, at least when we were talking on the phone, you consider yourself a man, you have a female side, but you're a guy, is what I got. Maybe I misinterpreted
that. No, that's correct.
Okay.
I consider myself to be a guy, but I have this other side that I want to present, and I don't see that as a rejection of my masculine self. I see that as just something extra.
Right. Okay. All right. That makes sense. So, and I say that it makes sense. There's a lot of people that have a lot of rules around what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman. And part of what I want to do really with this show is to help deconstruct gender roles. And I think that this can help with that. So when it comes down to what being trans means, if you ask somebody on the street, you get varying answers. Some people say it's a person who wants to be the other sex. Well, that's not what either of the two of you feel like. I don't know. Do you, Candy or Christine, do you feel like you want to? Are you undergoing sexual reassignment? Or
yeah. I've known since I was 5 years old I was born into the wrong body.
Mm-hmm.
And over the past several years, I have taken steps for my gender transformation. My journey began long ago, but with the group that Phoebe's going to talk about, was a really benefit to me to allow me to explore and to understand who I truly am on the inside. Yes, at this point, I've had the testosterone poisoning that was in my body removed.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that same year, I had breast augmentation surgery. And the nice thing about it is that it does change you. It does change how you think and how you feel, because those parts of you that you feel that are not supposed to be there are now gone.
Yes.
As I mentioned before, I have a very supportive employer. I don't know if I can mention who they are.
Oh, it's completely up to you.
Okay. I work for Emory Healthcare System. In Atlanta, and they are very pro LGBTQ. And as an employee of Emory, I'm allowed to, after 2 years of service, I'm allowed to have that option. Do I want to have gender transformation or gender confirmation? There's a lot of terminology with that as well.
Oh, I love the term gender confirmation.
Yeah, and that's what it is. I'm going to be having my gender confirmation surgery sometime this coming June of 2020. Emory supports that, and they do it financially through the insurance company. So for me, my identity has evolved from the time I started this journey publicly to today.
Yes, yes. And what I want to do in an effort to help people to understand is I want to make sure that we note the difference here. Christine, you identify as a woman. You feel as though you are anatomically not matching who you really are. You weren't given the right parts, I guess. This is necessarily not what you are feeling, Phoebe. You feel that you are a guy. It's just that you have this extra piece, and it's not what you're feeling as well, Brandy. You're feeling as though, you know what, I kind of feel some of both. And I will ask you, what is your sexual, I guess, I don't want to say your assignment, but what would your anatomy indicate? And you can stop me if you think that's a rude question.
I was assigned male at birth.
Okay.
And for the most
part... Now, is that what your anatomy indicated as well?
Yes.
Okay, because those are two different things.
Yes.
Okay.
And for the most part, I am mostly happy with my body. I wish my breasts were larger, but
Who doesn't?
What female doesn't? Right. So I suffer from that, but other than that, and the fact that I'm paraplegic, you know, I am happy with the body I have.
Right. So notice how there's the body itself and how you feel about it, which can be a separate matter from your gender identity.
Yes.
And it is that for you.
Yes.
But for you, Christine, they're part and parcel of the same. Correct. That's the same issue, I guess. Your gender and your anatomy are tied.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, as early as five, I was aware that I should have been born female. But back then, in the dark ages, you couldn't discuss that. You couldn't even talk about that.
Right.
So for me, it was, you know, you make do with what you have. But I always felt that anatomy-wise, I had parts of me that just shouldn't be there.
Right, right, right. Which, you know, really is a medical condition. You know, ultimately, you can consider it a medical condition. But I really like naming this and getting it out there that your body doesn't necessarily have to comport with your gender identity, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And the other thing that I wanted to point out that might be different from gender identity is gender expression. So from what I am reading, gender expression has to do with how you express yourself out in the world. So this is where I think about you, Phoebe, because you consider yourself a guy, but you have a gender expression that includes a female identity, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So it again, we're seeing here that your expression, how you want to express yourself out in the world, is different. It doesn't necessarily have to be your internal gender identity, which again doesn't necessarily have to be your body. And so that's huge for people to understand, you know, and so that's one of the things that I was so excited about.
Can I explain a little something?
I would like you to, because I'm doing too much talking.
Anyway, transgender actually is a spectrum, and there are people at one end and people at the other end. And the basic difference between the two ends are, at one end, the people want to be the opposite sex. People at the other end simply want the appearance of the opposite sex.
Gotcha. Okay. That makes sense. I looked up a definition of it. It says transgender people have a gender identity or gender expression that differs from their sex assigned at birth. So, we haven't talked about it yet, but and you see how quick the show goes. But now you guys are all, you guys, I did it again. You three are all part of the same group, which I believe is called Sigma Epsilon of Atlanta. Is that correct? And Phoebe, you've been with Sigma Epsilon the longest, as Christine made sure that everybody knew when we were in the waiting room that Christine is older than, or that Phoebe's older than her. So that's nice, Christine. But anyway, so could you tell us...
Older in many ways.
Oh, okay. So can you tell us a little bit about the history of the organization?
Sure. So, well, I've been with Sigma Epsilon for about 18 years. And Sigma Epsilon's mission is to help people who cross-dress have a safe environment to do the cross-dressing. We also provide support for family members, and we're trying to help cross-dressers and others to find out who they really are and how they can deal with this in their lives, and particularly deal with it in a way that it doesn't destroy relationships. That's our primary mission.
How do you, what I mean, when I saw the group, it was more of a social outing. Is it, what if I was going to be a member of the group, what kind of programming is offered or what happens?
Okay, the group you met was not made up entirely of Sigma Epsilon people.
Oh, okay.
You ran into a few. Some of our members are members of different meetup groups and that sort of thing. Our group, the way we typically work out is we have a meeting once a month at a local hotel. It's kind of a whole weekend kind of event.
So people stay at the hotel over the weekend?
Yes, because we have members from all over the Southeast. We have people who come from North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, Alabama, Tennessee, sometimes even further away than that. But we gather together in a hotel. We go out from there to see plays, to have dinner, to go to comedy clubs, do all kinds of outgoing things. On Saturday mornings, we have a support meeting where we get together in a room and everybody talks about whatever's going on in their life and try and find out ways to support one another that way. Plus we have afternoon activities. We'll go to all kinds of things, the Gwinnett County Fair. We'll go to the Renaissance Fair. We'll go to the zoo, to museums. And then we'll also get together again and go to a nice restaurant and have dinner together.
How many members do you think there are?
I know currently we have 41 members.
Okay.
That's just the paid membership.
Now
we have people who are members who we've bestowed honorary membership on a few, but the wives of our cross-dressers are also members, at least those that choose to, and have full voting rights and all in the organization.
Nice.
But they don't have to pay anything to be a part of the group.
All right. Well, actually, I'm glad you brought that up, and we do want to talk about that when we come back. Those of you that are just joining us, you are listening to Alternative Perspectives on WRFG Atlanta 89.3 FM. I am your host, Greg Bossen, and we are talking with Christine, Brandy, and Phoebe, members of the Atlanta's trans community, and we will be right back. We're just going to take a quick break.
How can I explain when words get broken?
And we are back. You are listening to Alternative Perspectives on WRFG Atlanta 89.3 FM on your dial. And you're listening to myself, Greg Bossen. This is Atlanta's only queer radio hour, coming on Tuesday nights from 7 to 8 p.m. I am your host. We are speaking with Christine, Brandy, and Phoebe, three members of Atlanta's trans community. And before we went to the break, Phoebe, you had mentioned your wife. So that's one thing that I wanted to talk about here. One thing that people don't seem to understand, I think people are beginning to, but it's fairly blurry, and this is true in the gay community in addition to the straight community, is there's this confusion around being trans and what that means for your sexuality. And again, I don't think the two necessarily have anything to do with one another, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct.
Yeah. So, and we'll start with you, Phoebe. I think you're an obvious choice here. Would you consider yourself straight or gay?
Straight.
Okay. So that's straight. And you've been married for how long?
More than 40 years.
More than 40 years. All right. And how long have you been... Now, by the way, the term... How do you feel about being called a cross-dresser? Is that something that's repugnant to those in your community, or...
Me personally, I don't have any problem with
it. But some do.
There are some that do. Terms change over the years.
So transvestite would be something that would be...
Well, yeah. Everyone was, back in the 70s, was either a transvestite or a transsexual.
Right.
There was nothing else.
Right. But, all right. So, now I'm just a little bit curious about how that happened for you, like... And you can go into however, like, I assume she knows.
Oh, yeah. She's known since the very beginning.
She did know since the very beginning.
Yes.
Okay. Is she a cross-dresser as well?
No.
Okay. Was there any issues with it at all, even from the very beginning?
Not really. Not about the cross-dressing. I mean, there's always issues in a marriage.
Let's talk about those, shall we?
How long have we got?
No, so how long have... Because you've been... Oh, you said you've been doing this since the 1970s.
Yes.
So you were doing this when you met.
Around the time that we met is sort of when it started.
How did it start, actually? How did you come
well,
to
Well, actually, my cross-dressing started way before then. I mean, I have memories going back to when I was 4 years old. And watching the old Milton Berle television show.
Right.
And Uncle Milty would, every week, would get up and prance around on stage in a dress of some sort or ballerina costume. And I thought in my little mind at that time, boy, it looks like he's having a lot of fun. I think I'll try that. And I did at my grandmother's house. I put on some... an old dress and a big floppy hat and some shoes that were way too big and marched around the house and thought that was fun and eventually got bored with that. And so I went out the front door and went down the sidewalk and started talking to people at the bus stop. And I've been doing the same sort of thing ever since.
But honestly, your wife, there had to have been a moment when you told this woman that you had met that this was something that was part of who
well,
you were.
Well, it was something that sort of developed. I mean, mm-hmm. It was, when we met, it was more a lingerie sort of thing. And I think full presentation actually came on later.
Okay.
And she helped me with that.
Really?
Really.
So there was never, now, what were you... in the closet about this during that time to other people in your world?
Not really.
Oh, wow.
Well, I mean, it's not something you just go and broadcast.
Although I mean, that's what we're doing right
well,
now.
Well, I know, but I mean, it's sort of like, you don't go out and talk about, what you do in the bedroom with your wife every night.
Right.
Not in detail, anyway.
Oh, well, so now I didn't say anything about doing anything in the bedroom. So are you saying that the lingerie, like it started as part of your sexual experience?
It may have had something to do with that, yeah.
All right, okay. So, and that is another question that I have for you, but we're going to come back to that, but we have to put a pin in that. But the main point is that you consider yourself straight.
Yes.
And then I'm actually going to ask you, Christine, and it's an interesting question. So I think I'm probably going to ask you, are you more attracted to men or women or both? Where are you on that scale?
In the journey that I have been going over, especially since being on hormones, there was a lot of what ifs, and I was confused. I wasn't sure. Yes, I was married. My ex-wife was involved originally in the group. She was there, but as she saw me progress, there became a distance, and eventually we did divorce. But for me, I was trying to figure out who I was as someone who is presenting as a female. Was I attracted to men? Was I attracted to women, or was I attracted to somebody else? So there was a lot of experimenting, and yes, I mean, I needed to know. Currently, I am engaged to be married. I have my fiance, who is also transgender. She lives in Philadelphia. We met at a conference this past March. We connected on so many different levels, and because we're the same age and we have some similar life experiences, we wanted to be with each other. She's going to be having her gender confirmation surgery sometime after mine. So if you want to get the technical terms, we are trans lesbians.
Right.
So because right. We'll both be females at some point. To me, it doesn't matter what label you want to put on the person.
Of course.
I'm happy with my partner. I was happy with my son's mother, with my ex-wife. But other things got involved. This didn't help. And you fall out of love. And we don't hate each other today. We talk to each other. I mean, we're still involved with our son, who's 23, but we're living separate lives.
Right.
So for me, my sexual orientation has evolved as I've traveled on this journey. It's evolved to the point where I've now found who I am attracted to. And there's quite a few of us in this part of the spectrum that Phoebe talked about, where we are full-time, and we kind of migrate towards each other, because we have some of the same life interests and some of the same life drama that's gone on in our lives. So for me, that's who I'm attracted to sexually.
So you feel like your sexual attraction has evolved, but I, from where I'm sitting, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, okay, you were married to a female before.
Yes.
And essentially you're married to a female, you'll be married to a female again.
Correct.
So you know, penises have never been a big thing.
Again, you know. To me, it's I'm attracted to the soul of the person I'm
with. Of course,
and
of course.
That's so important to me.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter if, you know, who I eventually ended up with. I didn't think I was going to end up with anybody, period.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, Marie came into my life, and for the first time as myself, my authentic self, I fell in love.
Yeah.
And that's important, because to me, you know, I'm doing this for me. I'm not doing it for her. I'm doing it for me. But I fell in love with someone that I really want to spend the rest of my life with. And I'm proud to say that.
Maybe that's what you're getting at when you talk about evolution and evolving. You're falling in love with somebody from a different space,
sure.
From a space that's more authentic.
Yeah.
And so,
that's the whole
not
thing.
To lessen what happened before, but there's a power here in coming from that space.
And I use that term authentic self so much, whether I'm posting on Facebook or on my podcasting, because it's important. We all have this piece of us that is authentic, whether
yes.
We're, you know, authentic when we cross dress, and we're authentic when we're in our male mode. If that's the, you know, the spectrum that you're in, or someone like me, the moment I decided to go full time, I wanted to be authentic. I didn't want to put on a persona anymore that I just didn't like.
Right, right. All right, well, we will be right back. We have a real quick break, and then we're going to pick up the discussion. We'll be right back.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber.
We have a saying around here that voting is a sacred act.
WRFG 89.3 FM invites you to a free screening of Suppressed, The Fight to Vote, on Friday, November 8th at the North Decatur Presbyterian Church. Suppressed is a powerful new film by director Robert Greenwald. It uses the personal stories of Georgia voters to chronicle voter suppression in the 2018 midterm election. WRFG is joining with Indivisible Georgia 4, Necessary Trouble, and Black Voters Matter for a showing of this important film that shows that the basic constitutional right to vote is under siege in America. The screening is at 7 p.m. on Friday, November 8th at the North Decatur Presbyterian Church. The church is located at 611 Medlock Road, Decatur, 30033. Child care will be available. Please go to wrfg.org for details. After the film, Wanda Mosley of Black Voters Matter will lead a discussion on how we can protect our right to vote. Remember, if your vote didn't matter, they wouldn't be trying to stop it.
Okay, and we are back. I really like that. If your vote didn't matter, they wouldn't be trying to stop it. I like that. All right, so you are listening to Alternative Perspectives on WRFG Atlanta 89.3 FM. I'm your host, Greg Bossen. We're speaking with three individuals of Atlanta's trans community, Christine, Brandy, and Phoebe. And we were talking about the fact that your sexual orientation is necessarily a different thing from your gender identity and your gender expression. So just going ahead and rounding this out, I wanted to talk to you, Brandy, because you kind of feel like you have a male and a female gender identity.
Yeah.
So where are you with the whole sexual attraction thing?
So I am attracted to females. Since I've come to the realization of being gender fluid, I've not really put a lot of thought into, well, does that make me a lesbian? Does that make me a heterosexual guy? I just haven't really put a lot of thought into it. I am attracted to females, and I'm married, and my wife has known since early in our dating relationship that at the time I was identifying as a cross-dresser. But she has known about this part of me pretty much the entire time we've been together, which is going on 15 years now. We've been married for 13.
Wow. So I did want to say this because I've been thinking about this in the background as we've been speaking. This idea that, you know, you started as a cross-dresser.
Yes.
You know, you have a gender fluidity, but you're still, in a sense, a cross-dresser, and you certainly are as well, Phoebe. But did you start as a cross-dresser, Christine? And then, the microphone's there. Did you start as a cross-dresser and then move? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I mean, I started with Sigma Epsilon in 2008, and to me, it was so important to find that group. It allowed me to, with the support of my sisters who were part of that group, understanding what they were going through, understanding what I was going through, and it allowed me to grow. And I'm so grateful to that group. To me today, I still stay a part of it because I want to be a resource if anybody has questions that, you know, if they're thinking about what I have done, I can give them my perspective, not what they should do, but just a perspective. And again, the group has been so supportive of me, and I'm going to stay as long as I can. I was a member of the board. I was active with the group. This past year, it's just been very hard for me because of my work schedule and other commitments. But I'm still going to renew my membership. I'm still going to show up when I can. And I'll be there for them, because they were there for me when I really needed them. And that's so important.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you, this is something that, I guess I'm asking both Phoebe as well as Brandy. If you have somebody who shows up as a cross-dresser and then over time evolves and decides, you know what, my gender identity is female, I want to make this transition. Do some people feel threatened by that are just straight up cross-dressers? Just like, well, wait a second, you know, what are you saying? Are you saying that, like, does anybody ever wonder in the group, well, why is, you know, are you saying that really I should be a female? Like, is there any sort of animosity between the two groups?
I wouldn't say there's animosity. I think many of our members come to us who don't really know where they are in the spectrum.
Right.
And over time, they find out. And there have been quite a few, like Christine, who have decided that transition is the route they need to go. But
you don't feel threatened by that?
No. We wish them well. The only thing is, our group is not equipped to provide them with the kind of support they really need to make that transition, because they have legal issues, they have medical issues, they have severe relationship issues, which we can only partially address.
Right.
So we can't really help with the transition, but at the same time, we do not abandon our friends.
Of course.
People who come into our group and they don't know where they're going, we help them try and find out where they are and help them achieve that. And those that want to stay part of the group, like Christine, we're happy to have them continue as members. And we have several other members who have at least partially transitioned, live full-time 100% of the day, and we're happy to have them continue as members. But we've had others who have gone through transition and decided that they simply don't need what Sigma Epsilon has to offer.
All right. Well, and I guess I just really want to highlight, you know, What I really would like to see is people to sort of to let go of this idea that if you're born with a penis or you're born with a vagina, that means, you know, this is what your gender has to be. This is what your gender expression has to be. This is who you must be attracted to. And people that are in the gay community that don't understand why the trans community is really part of our community, in my view, it's because ultimately we're talking about society's constructed gender roles. We're non-conforming. If I'm born with a penis, I have all of these rules. One of the rules is I'm supposed to consider myself a man. One of these rules is I'm supposed to be attracted to women. So just as I am going against the rules by being gay, it's the same problem. It's the constructed gender rules. So I'm hoping that, you know, with shows like this, we can help to kind of let people look at that and realize, well, first of all, like this woman who was on Facebook screaming at the because she was upset at a tampon company not putting a female notification on there or whatever. But it's like, why is it that you're so upset about a third party who is not you that wants to explore who they are? You know, I don't understand. I got one more thing and then we're going to go. Thank you so much, by the way. But I really was thinking about this. And Phoebe, and I guess this really relates to all of you, but I was thinking mostly for you because you consider yourself a guy. You have a female persona that a lot of it has to do with clothing. And I'm thinking about gender roles, part of the society's construct around what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman has to do with clothing. So like if you're a woman, you're supposed to wear a dress. If you're a man, you're supposed to wear jeans. If you're a woman, you're supposed to wear, you know, makeup. If you're a man, you're not. So this is a society constructed rule. And I wondered, What if that didn't exist? What if we grew up in a society to where it didn't matter what you dressed like? There wasn't really a thing about being a woman or a thing about being a man in terms of how you dressed. Would that change anything for you?
I think it would be very boring.
So you like having an outer appearance that reflects an inner...
Yes.
An inner identity.
Yes. I have fun with this.
Yeah. What do you think about what I said there, Brandy? Because you consider yourself more gender fluid. And
yeah. As Phoebe says, it would be boring. I enjoy getting to get all dressed up and present as female, something that most people looking at me on a daily basis would not see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a way to express that externally.
Yeah.
So, and I'll finish with this. Why don't you tell that joke you told me over the phone about how many transvestites does it take?
Or how many cross-dressers?
How many cross-dressers does it take to change a light bulb?
Yes. The answer to the age-old question of how many cross-dressers to change a light bulb is 5. And the reason it's 5 is because it takes 1 cross-dresser to actually screw in the bulb and 4 to take pictures from every angle.
Oh, gosh. I think that's awesome. I have tried to dress in women's clothing before, and it is no easy task. I think we spent 2 hours getting ready or 4 hours getting ready, and then we spent maybe 30 minutes out, and then our feet were killing us, so we went back home and just... did other things. But anyway, with that, thank you so much to each one of you for coming. And I will say, is there any last words that you want to say? And I'll just, do we just have time for one of you? Anything in particular that you want to shout out? Yeah. Go ahead, Cindy.
I close with this same phrase every time with my podcast, and it's from Mother Rue. If you can't love yourself, how in the hell are you going to love someone else?
Yes.
And it's so important. If you can't love you, how are we going to love each other and yes. someone else?
And part of loving yourself is being whoever the hell
That's right.
you want to be.
That's right.
All right. Love yourself. See you next time.